Good afternoon. My name is Lizbeth, and I will be your conference operator for today. At this time, I would like to welcome you to the conference call on the Economic Activity, Public Finances, and Public Debt Report for the second quarter of 2014. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to make a question during this time, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press star 2. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the conference call on the report of the economic activity, public finances, and the public debt as of the second quarter of 2014. I am Alfredo Mieriterán. I will be talking about the economic outlook and also regarding the public finance. So, regarding the economic outlook, during the second quarter of 2014, the Mexican economy continued to strengthen. This is consistent with market analysis and the ministry's economic outlook. Mexican non-oil exports continue to grow at an accelerated pace, supported by Mexico's competitiveness and the stronger dynamism of the United States economy. Today was released the United States GDP for the second quarter of 2014, recording a 4% annualized growth rate above the 3% market consensus. During the second quarter of 2014, Mexican exports grew at a 5.4% annual rate, recording the highest quarterly increase since the first quarter of 2012. Domestic demand continued to expand. Increases in consumption and investment reflected formal job creation, an increase in credit growth, more dynamic credit government expenditures, and the recovery of consumer confidence. As of June 30th, 2014, the number of workers affiliated to IMSS stood at 16.9 million, which represented an annual growth of 3.5% or 571,000 jobs. This is the highest growth in the past 12 months, and it continues to be higher than economic growth. As of May 2014, total credit from commercial and development banks increased 4.6% in real annual terms. In particular, credit for firms increased 7.9%. During the second quarter of 2014, inflation rebounded modestly due to temporary increases in some agricultural products. In June 2014, headline annualized inflation stood at 3.75%. And also as of June 30th, 2014, the exchange rate stood at 12.99 pesos per dollar, which implies an appreciation of 0.6%, which represents to the level at the end of March. With respect to the level at the end of March. The appreciation was the result of a low volatility environment observed in financial markets due to market expectations that the main central banks from developed economies will keep an accommodative monetary policy stance for a longer than anticipated period. At the end of June 2014, the Mexican Stock Exchange stood at 42,737 points, which represented a 5.6% increase with respect to the end of quarter of 2014, reflecting investors' confidence in Mexico's economy. With that, we end up the part of the economic outlook, and now I will continue with some comments about the public finance. During the first quarter of the first half of 2014, public finances continued to strengthen in benefit of macroeconomic stability. Public finances were strengthened through an efficient tax collection and timely execution of public expenditures. In the first half of 2014, the public deficit stood at 246.5 billion pesos, excluding Pemex investment. Excluding Pemex investment, public deficit of 66.6 billion pesos was observed. These results are in line with the annual target approved by Congress. During the first half of 2014, public expenditures were timely and efficiently executed in benefit of economic activity and the welfare of most vulnerable population. Expenditures in physical investment increased 31.7% in real terms. Subsidies, which include support programs for the most vulnerable population, increased 20.8% in real terms. On the other hand, operational expenditures other than personal services and pensions observed a decrease of 5.2% in real terms. In the first half of 2014, budgetary revenues of the public sector increased 1.7% in real annual terms with respect to the same period of 2013. Within them, tax revenues increased 7.3% in real terms, with respect to the first half of 2013. This outcome reflects the favorable effect of the fiscal reform on public finances and collections of the excise tax and the value-added tax increased 40% and 19.2% respectively. Oil revenues, on the other hand, were 2.7% lower in real annual terms than the ones observed in the first half of 2013. Oil revenues were the result of a lower price of the Mexican oil mix, a lower production platform, and an increase in petroleum imports. Revenues from ISSSTE and CFE increased 3.7% in real terms with respect to the first half of 2013, mainly due to higher electricity sales and social contributions. With this, I will end my comments, and I will pass the microphone to Alejandro Díaz de León to cover some topics regarding public debt.
Hello. Regarding public debt, in the first half of the year and mainly in the second quarter of the year, I would highlight first that all of the items in public debt management has been basically to fulfill three objectives. One is to fulfill federal government borrowing requirements. Two, to maintain access to a wide range of markets in an attractive combination of cost and risk, and also to promote deep and liquid markets. I would highlight some of the key or the most significant transactions that were done in the second quarter, which is basically April, 1 billion euros in global bonds due in 2021, and another billion euros due in 2029. These 7-year and 15-year benchmarks was the first time for a sovereign issuer to issue in the same transaction a medium and a long-term bond in a simultaneous way. And the terms and conditions were quite favorable for the federal government, both in terms of yield, coupon, and the demand. In terms of, probably that's the most significant transaction, although we also had a couple of local syndicated issuances, both in Udi Bonos and in the 20-year fixed rate nominal bond. In terms of the debt levels, I would highlight that the federal government's net debt stands at the end of the second quarter at 30.4% of GDP, and that the public net debt, and as you know, the public sector includes to the federal government, it adds public entities under direct budgetary control and development banks, and this figure was at 37.3% of GDP. And finally, our broadest definition of debt, which is the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirement, stood at 40.8% of GDP, of which 29.9% of GDP was issued in domestic markets and 10.9% in external markets. I will also highlight that in terms of average maturity of our domestic debt, this stood roughly around 8 years, and we continue to extend average duration both in our local and our external funding market. Finally, in terms of financial costs, just to highlight that the financial cost in the first half of the year has been below what was budgeted, and this figure is around a little bit less than 20 billion pesos below what was originally budgeted. So we are clearly a little bit in line with what was expected, and a little bit below what was budgeted for this period of the year. With this, we end our presentation from the outlook of the economy, the fiscal accounts, and public debt, and we open the floor for any questions from the audience. Operator, please.
Thank you. We will now proceed with the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one at this time. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press the star followed by the two. If you are using speaker equipment, please lift the handset before making your selection. Once again, star one to ask a question. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one at this time. And our first question is from the line of Luis Arcentales with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
First of all, thank you for the call. There are a couple issues I was interested in. First, with the tax reform, you included several incentives to encourage informal entities to formalize. Could you tell us anything about how those are progressing, if you've seen any success? That's part number one. And second, you saw a significant above-budget increase in non-oil revenues relative to program. Could you tell us about that? Did you underestimate the impact of the reform, VAT, and in the income tax? And part of it also, if you could comment on the non-tax revenue increase, which was quite significant above budget as well. Thank you.
Sure. I will answer your questions, and there's also in line there's Santiago de María Campos who could comment further. Regarding your first question on the tax reform and the particular regime that was created, called the incorporation regime, that was aimed at increasing the formality in the Mexican economy, it has been really successful. We have seen an increase in the amount of taxpayers. The numbers are the last measure before the reform accounted for a total of 38 million taxpayers, and the latest numbers now reflect a significant increase in that number, up to 42 million taxpayers. This is not due to this new regime, but it certainly helped to increase that number. Then, regarding the non-oil revenue, as you mentioned, there is a big increase. We saw that they were 54 billion pesos above what was budgeted, and this is mainly due to an increase in VAT that has been up to now greater than what was budgeted, and that's partly because there's the contribution to the elimination of the different rate in the border. To name just one of the factors that has contributed, have a better impact in terms of not only
The additional VAT recovered is not only due to the additional rates, but also for, due to the closing of loopholes. So that has proven significant, and is showing in the numbers. Then in the, for the third question, regarding the non-tax revenues, I will ask Santiago if he could comment.
Hello, this is Santiago. Regarding the non-tax revenues, we've seen, for example, good revenues from the from highways, from the leasing of highways. So this is one of the sources of income. We've seen other. Other concepts are also performing pretty well, and I mean they accounted for 88 billion pesos. It's just in general the way they're behaving right now, but still a little bit below in real terms in comparison to last year. So it's a problem that we're studying exactly, and since most of these or some of these revenues can be non-recurrent, we're not banking too much on how on them for the future. We're observing the way they behave and trying to see how they're compensating for example, lower oil-related revenues in some senses.
Thank you. Very, very helpful.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one at this time. If you are using speaker equipment, please lift the handset before making your selection. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one at this time. And I am showing no further questions. I'd like to turn the call back over to management for any closing remarks.
Well, if there are no further questions, on behalf of the Minister of Finance, we appreciate you logging into this conference. Thank you very much. And if there's any other information that you would need, you know where to contact us. Thank you very much.
And pardon me, we actually do have a question from the line of Luis Arcentales. Would you like to go ahead and take that question?
Yes, go ahead.
And our next question
ahead,
is from Luis Arcentales with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks again. I was wondering if you have a sense. I mean, we saw this surge in public sector fixed investment in the first half of the year. Do you have a sense of how much of that has been executed? I understand how it's measured, and so meaning how much of that has been put to work already, so to speak. I mean, you have the transfer to the states and so on, so that the money doesn't show immediately in some of the, let's say, economic figures, but do you have a sense of that?
Hi, Luis. This is Ernesto. I'm just joining the call. Sorry for being late. So that's a good question. We just published, as you know, numbers for fixed investment for the first half of the year that are 31.7% higher in real terms than in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
We are very happy with the execution especially in the second quarter of public spending, and we're starting to see some figures where you're starting to see the effect on construction. And remember there was a discussion, and I think you even had a graph in one of your reports where you correlate fixed investment infrastructure of the federal government with construction in the overall economy, and you see that there's a lag between the impact on growth and the effect on fixed investment. And then we're starting to see finally some effect on the monthly survey of construction firms by INEGI in April, which showed a very important increase in construction, especially by the public sector. And the numbers of fixed investment of April, where we saw also a very important monthly increase in total construction, and especially in INS numbers, which we already have job creation until June, and we can see a very important increase, especially in construction, where you see an annual rate of 7% of increase in the job creation of construction workers. So the execution, we have executed slightly more than half the number. The exact number is in the quarterly report. It's slightly above the program for these 6 months, but what is important is the impact, and we're hopeful that we will see it in the second in the data for the second quarter.
Great. Thanks a lot, Ernesto. Very helpful as usual.
Thank you. And there are no further questions. Please continue with any other closing remarks you may have.
Well, if there are no further questions, we give thanks to anyone that was connected to the line, and on behalf of the ministry, thank you very much. And if you have additional comments, you know how to make those questions and send an email. Thank you very much, and thank you, Ernesto.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.